morning blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
So please, tell me what we're talking about today.
We're going to do things just a little differently today on Abandoned Manitoba. We're going to talk about people in Manitoba who did things for the first time. And I'm going to challenge our listeners and you, Keisha, to guess when each of these things happened.
Okay, I'm born ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, our first category is politics. When was the first woman elected as a member of the Manitoba Legislative Assembly? Was it 1896, 1920, 1952, or 1981?
I'm going to go with 1920.
Excellent. Right on. That was the year in which Edith Rogers was elected. She was not only the first woman MLA, but also the first woman of Métis heritage to serve in the legislature. For bonus marks, what did Edith Rogers' daughter, Margaret, do first in 1963?
Well, the first one was a long shot. There's no way I know. Please enlighten me, Gordon.
Margaret Konance was the first Manitoba woman to be elected as a member of parliament. She followed her mother into politics. Interestingly, she had promised her husband that she would not get into politics. Well, he died in 1954, and I guess she felt that her vow no longer applied, so she ran and was elected in 1963.
Literally, till death do you part, and then I get to do whatever I want, right?
That's so, it.
What is another political first?
Okay, here's a tough one. When was the first person of Black ancestry elected as an MLA? Was it 1915? 1947, 1983, or 2019?
Oh, man, this is extra pressure because I'm a sister. So let me guess. 1915?
Oh, exactly right. Boy, you're on top of this here, Keisha.
Two for two.
You know, it's widely believed that the first three Black MLAs were elected in 2019, but a good case can be made that the first was actually one George Prout. Born in Barbados, Mr. Prout came to Manitoba in 1897, and he was elected in the 1915 general election. Now, I should point out that he did not self-identify as Black, but that doesn't surprise me, you know, given the racist tendencies of mainstream society at the time. And I don't think it would have been prudent for somebody looking to be elected to voluntarily offer this detail about one's background. However, in the 1911 Canadian census, his mother was described as being of, quote, Negro ancestry. So, unless genetics don't work the way I think they do, George Prout had Black roots too.
Say it loud. So, what about law? What are some of those first there?
Well, like a lot of other occupations, the legal profession was dominated by Anglo-Saxon men for many years. When was the first Jewish lawyer called to the Manitoba Bar? Was it 1905, 1925, 1945, or 1965?
I've been doing pretty good with these early 19, so I'm gonna go with 1905.
Oh, you're just on a roll there, Keisha.
Exactly. I should buy a ticket, hey?
You should.
This is my day.
Max Steinkopf articled in law with Hugh John MacDonald. He was the son of Sir John A. MacDonald, and he practiced law until his premature death at the age of 54. His son, Maitland Steinkopf, also became a lawyer and was active in public affairs in the 1960s, including a term as an MLA. Unfortunately, like his father, he also died far too soon at the age of 58. The first Manitoba lawyer of Polish descent was Bernard Dubienski, who was called to the Manitoba Bar in 1918. He had a distinguished legal career and, like Max Steinkopf, had a son who followed him into the law. Ian Dubienski became a lawyer in 1947 and a provincial court judge in 1961. He chaired the first Canadian Conference on Aboriginal Justice in 1973. And of course, we're probably thinking about, you know, when did women become involved in the legal profession? We should therefore mention Ellen Sissons and Winifred Wilson. In 1915, both women were called to the bar, becoming Manitoba's first two female lawyers. Sissons practiced for just 2 years until her marriage in 1917. And of course, at that time, when you got married, you pretty much had to give up all aspirations of a career of your own. Wilton, well, she moved to London, England, where she did legal work for the Canadian military during the First World War. She met and she married an American engineer in Paris and returned with him to the U.S., where she was admitted to the New York bar in 1922. Unfortunately, I haven't found any information on her legal work after this point.
Well, we'll forgive you this one time. Now, now, why don't you tell me some firsts in another professional field?
Okay, let's switch to engineering. When did a woman become an engineer for the first time? Was it 1923, 1937, 1946, or 1969?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot a lot today. My dad's an engineer, and he listens. And this is, let me go with, I'm going to stay with, like, the winning streak. That's the early 19s-ish, so I'm going to go 1923.
Unfortunately, it was a trick question, I have to say, because the answer hinges on one's definition of becoming an engineer. The organization, Engineers and Geoscientists Manitoba, they register engineers here in the province. They say that Judith Weissman was the first in 1969. She had graduated with an engineering degree from a university in Budapest, Hungary, in 1954, and she immigrated to Canada with her husband, who was also an engineer, in 1957. She requested to be accredited as an engineer in Manitoba based on her training in Budapest, but she was rejected because of a rather subtle bureaucratic problem. So through the 1960s, she challenged exams to basically redo her engineering training. She took credit at the University of Manitoba, and finally, in 1969, she gained her formal accreditation.
Now, it's hard for me to hear that story because things like that still happen today. But I'm wondering, with what you just said, how was that a trick question?
Well, because in 1946, Winnipegger Edna Russell received a degree in civil engineering from the University of Manitoba. She was the first woman to be trained in Manitoba as an engineer. But so far as I've been able to determine, I can find no evidence that she ever practiced as an engineer in Manitoba. Engineers and Geoscientists Manitoba has no record that she ever sought formal accreditation. So the answer to the original question could be either 1946 or 1969. So the answer could be either 1946 or 1969. Take your pick.
Imagine getting a degree and then it just gets lost. They're like, nah, maybe it didn't happen.
Well, you know, sometimes people change their minds. You know, they find out about what the career entails and decide, you know, I just don't want to do that. So who knows? But I should put in a side note, though. I'd like to mention in relation to women engineers, the late Ruth Eden. Here's another example of a person who passed away far too soon. In her case, just last year. Ruth spent decades designing and constructing bridges and other structures throughout Manitoba for the Department of Highways as its first female highways engineer. She later served as an assistant deputy minister in the provincial government, and she was president of Engineers and Geoscientists Manitoba. A real loss.
Okay, so there's one final category. What is it?
Well, let's do a lightning round of four more firsts by women. When was the first woman certified as a plumber? Was it 1935, 1957, 1971, or 1990?
I'm sticking with the early 19s, even though I messed up the last one. How about 1935?
Oh, you're losing your touch, Keisha. 1990, fairly recent. A woman named Lillian Kowalchuk. When did the first woman graduate from the University of Manitoba? Was it 1889, 1905, 1911, or 1918?
Okay, I'm gonna switch it up since clearly my streak is, I'm gonna go early, 1889.
Right. Ooh. Right. In 1889, actually, that was really early at a time when, again, women were not expected to go on to higher education. Jessie Holmes took a degree from the University of Manitoba. Okay, when did the first woman obtain a private pilot's license? 1918, 1928, 1938, or 1948?
I'm going to go early again, 1918.
Very close, but not quite. 1928, Eileen McGill, first pilot with a license in Manitoba. Last one. When did the first woman serve as president of the Manitoba Teachers Association? 1915, 1935, 1955, or 1975?
Oh, this is really putting me on the spot again, because we have two people on our show who are actually on the cover of the Manitoba Teacher Society, and I don't have the foggiest clue. Why don't I say
1935. A woman named Carolyn Parkinson. And incidentally, she was one of 87 teachers in Brandon who, in 1922, refused the Brandon School Division's demand that they take a 25% pay cut. Wow, 25% off your salary all at once. So they wouldn't take it, so they were all terminated. This year, 2022, is the 100th anniversary of this significant event in Canada's labor history, which served as a catalyst for collective bargaining by teachers. And in fact, there's a ceremony commemorating this milestone that'll be held in Brandon this coming Tuesday.
Gordon, thanks for the tip. Now, can you give us a hint about next week's episode?
We're going to go back to our theme of buildings in limbo, you know, buildings where their future is uncertain. In this case, it's a building in Winnipeg that at one time was very powerful.
Oh, wow. I can't wait for that.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.